What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Look out for the 49ers and what's going on with the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford as they go into their bye week. Reeling a little bit, and a big win last night for the Niners, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Ramondre Stevenson and a whole bunch of Chicago Bears and some tight ends to stream and all those things. How much faith are you going to have in the Bears offense going forward? Because Justin Fields might be your favorite quarterback to add. Darnell Mooney might be your favorite wide receiver. Cole Kmet could be among your favorite tight ends. And I don't think we want Allen Robinson, though. We'll see. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie, how are we feeling about the waiver wire this week?
It's not bad. It's not great. It's not bad. You know, it just depends on who's out there for you, because I'm going to guess the majority of leagues, Stevenson is rostered. Mooney is rostered. Dan Arnold is rostered, but still some leagues where those guys are available. So those are the top players at their respective positions. Cam's going to be fun.
Cam is going to be fun. Dave, maybe Cam can be a good quarterback because we didn't really have any of those in week 10.
He was one of the better ones. He had, I think, 16 fantasy points in 13. Week 10. Whatever he had, and he barely played. So just extrapolate that over, you know, 20 pass attempts and 8 carries, and he'd probably be QB1 for the rest of the season.
He outscored Ryan, Brady, Ryan, Stafford, Rodgers, and Wilson. So
Wentz,
yeah.
Ooh. And Colt McCoy.
Well, I didn't see that coming. All right, so let's get to our top priorities here. Jamie, kick it off. Who are the 3 or 4 players that we should be looking at on waivers?
I think I just said them. Ramondre Stevenson, Darnell Mooney, and Dan Arnold, if you're looking at the number one running back, number one wide receiver, and number one tight end. And then Cam is number one quarterback. So there you go.
Okay, there you go. Dave, any disagreements there?
Actually, yeah. I mean, I agree with Ramondre Stevenson. I liked him last week. I definitely like him again this week. I think Justin Fields is the number one quarterback to get. I think he's got more upside than Cam Newton. Cam's just more widely available. So if you can't get your hands on Fields, or if you need a quarterback this week, I'd pick Tua up ahead of Cam Newton. But Cam's going to be fun. Jamie's right about that. Galladay, still out there in 46% of leagues. He would be my favorite wide receiver to go after. That's the same rostership availability as Darnell Mooney. I just think that he's got a better chance to provide a safe floor in PPR. And Logan Thomas is still hanging out there, 48% of leagues. He's a better rest of season type of tight end to snag compared to others at the tight end position.
You got these shallow league guys, 10-team leagues, maybe slips through the cracks, and some 12-team leagues of Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson probably not going to play. And Damian Harris right now. They have the Thursday game. It's Atlanta and New England, and the injuries at running back are huge there. Obviously. So Damian Harris was listed as a non-participant Monday. You know, they just had to list something. He didn't actually practice, but still in the concussion protocol. And Patterson may have a high ankle sprain, so he might miss some time. And they have New England and at Jacksonville next week. But, you know, Mike Davis, Miles Sanders could be available. Alex Collins, they're all rostered in about the same amount of leagues. And we'll get an update midweek on Chris Carson, it seems. So, Dave, if you had a look at those three running backs, Mike Davis, Miles Sanders, who could come back this week, and Alex Collins, are they must-add players?
Sanders would be. Not that I would expect Sanders to be the workhorse in Philly. I think those days are long, long gone, but he might be the one that leads them in carries most weeks rest of season. Collins, I'm not that interested in. Maybe it just is a warm body at running back who might fall into the end zone.
What about Mike Davis, though? Could he be? And what about,
He's not a great football player.
Right, but what about him and Gallman? The return of Gallman this week.
We'll see. It would make sense. I think we're definitely going to see Wayne Gallman play. And in the limited time when he has played, usually it's almost 100% been garbage time. He's looked okay. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We don't know if the Falcons are going to make a switch from Davis to Gallman, make Gallman the lead traditional running back in their offense. Certainly he'll play if Cordarrelle Patterson's not going to be on the field. We just don't know what the Falcons are definitely going to do between Davis and Gallman.
Jamie, who's a better running back to add? Is it Gallman or double dip Foreman?
Yeah. I would go with Foreman just because there's the potential of him being the best running back in Tennessee. You know, whereas Gallman, unless we find out that Patterson is out for the season, you know, is still going to be in a timeshare when Patterson does come back. And it's weird because the reports are differing. From what the team told you and what the NFL Network said. The NFL Network said it could be a couple of weeks, which still may be accurate, but the fact that the Falcons listed him as limited as opposed to DNP on their estimated practice report, maybe there's optimism that he could even play this week. So we'll find out, but I would probably guess that Patterson doesn't play this week and they try to get him back for week 12, excuse me.
Right, just a short week. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind here, Patterson's obviously... Is he their leading receiver? I don't even know, but he's obviously a big part of their passing game. And the Patriots give up the third most receiving yards per game to running backs. 7 running backs have 5 or more catches. 8 running backs have 46 or more yards. But the Patriots have only allowed 3 touchdowns to running backs all year, 2 rushing, 1 receiving.
Yeah, but this is going to be so tough for Atlanta if they don't have Patterson without Ridley. I mean, they're just so limited offensively. You know that the Patriots are going to take away Kyle Pitts. It has the potential to be really ugly for Atlanta this week.
And you know they're going to pressure Matt Ryan like crazy, too. The leading pass catcher on the Atlanta Falcons with 40 catches, 606 yards, and 1 touchdown, rookie Kyle Pitts.
About that. Okay. So, want to give you our live schedule on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Every podcast we do live, including Fantasy Football Today in 5. That was a nice little rhyme there. We have our Q&As Tuesday night, like tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern.
You showing up?
I'm going to show up. Yeah, I'm going to be there. I was there last week. No. I was out last week, right? I didn't realize Chris was out too. Where was Chris? What was that?
He was inactive.
There's a schedule, sorry.
He was inactive. Okay. Thursdays, 2 p.m. And Sundays, 11:30 a.m. Those are our live streams, all times Eastern. Hang out with us. Ask us questions. youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Now we got a big time email of the day. Bigger than football. This one comes from Keith. My father, Rick, is a longtime listener of the podcast. I got this email yesterday, by the way. He had a heart attack this morning and is currently in the ICU, but luckily is now in stable condition. When I was able to speak with him today post-surgery, he joked that the heart attack was Matt Ryan's fault. LOL. I was wondering if you could give him a shout-out on the podcast for a speedy recovery, as I know that it would boost his spirits.
Yes, get well soon, please.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can't wait to see you back at it in fantasy.
Yeah, Rick, hope you feel better. Glad that you had the sense of humor about Matt Ryan. I thought that was great. And
he made me feel a different way, not quite as serious.
It was quite a
gag reflex.
I think I faced both of you in separate leagues, and you both started Matt Ryan. And I want to thank you for doing that. It's good stuff. How much fab are we spending on Ramondre Stevenson or whoever else?
I don't think much. You know, again, as we get to this point in the season, it comes down to what you need and who's available to you. But the problem with spending a lot of money on Stevenson is what happens if Harris plays, you know, so you don't want to leave yourself going into, you know, the rest of the season without a guaranteed starter. So I would say probably neighborhood of 15% on Stevenson is fair, but it's so case specific at this point. He's the highest guy to spend, you know, your fab money on, because I don't think whether it's Mooney or Galladay, whatever receiver you want is a guaranteed starter. The quarterbacks are certainly startable, whether it's Cam or Tua or Fields, but since there's multiple of them, you know, you can probably find one of them available. And then you know, Arnold or Thomas, you know, Thomas may not play again, so just keep that in mind. But Arnold, you know, if you want to go get him in PPR, he just doesn't score touchdowns. So, you know, if he doesn't have another, you know, 7+ target game and giving you a floor of 10 PPR points, but a ceiling of about 14, you know, I don't know how much that is that a guy to break the bank on either.
Hey, he gave you a third of a touchdown.
Yes.
Got a 2-point conversion. Yes. Right. Go, Dan, go. Hey, which would you rather do? Would you rather spend 20% of your fab on Ramondre or 5% of your fab on Deontay Foreman? You need a running back for this week. We don't know what's happening in New England. We know it's going to be a mess in Tennessee.
What was it? Let's give it again.
20% on Ramondre, 5% on Deontay Foreman. Those are my top two running backs to add. And the third is gross.
I think if I really was thinking, I think Stevenson.
I think so too.
Well, the thing you want to look at with Stevenson is you want to go back 2 games ago when he had 10 carries for 62 yards and I think it was 2 catches. You know, so if that, and that's with him suffering concussion in the game, but also Harris suffering concussion in the game. You know, I think they're going to be in a 50-50 split. Stevenson has shown you that he can be their pass catching guy, you know, because they've tried that with him since the James White injury. He kind of failed in that role the first time, but I think they trust him a little bit more now. So you're getting more of a stable opportunity there with Stevenson, even if Harris plays. But the nice thing about it is that you'll know by the end of the day what Harris's practice status is. You know, so if he returns limited or gets cleared through the concussion protocol, then that should tell you how much you need to spend. If he's out, or, you know, a practice once again and still in the concussion protocol, then it's easier to justify spending 15-20% of your fab.
All right, so give me your thoughts. I know I asked you this on Sunday. I probably asked Chris this yesterday, but your thoughts on what the Patriots backfield looks like if both Harris and Stevenson are healthy.
I'd say it's probably 60-40 on rushing downs in favor of Harris. Stevenson probably 60-40 over Bolden in the passing game.
Okay. I wasn't that excited over Stevenson in the passing game. I never got a chance to look back and see if he even pass blocked last Sunday. But I think Bolden still probably has a hammer lock on those passing downs, which means that Stevenson and Harris would split the rushing downs. Not ruling out that Stevenson can't take some work away from Bolden. I wonder if at this point Stevenson's the better rusher. And he's just more physical, more explosive. They can do a little bit more with him on first and second downs than they can with Harris, or at least they would trust him a little bit more. I wonder if he's a little bit better in short yardage goal line. I can go back at him and look to see which one's been better at converting those carries inside the three. But I said it last week, I'll say it again. I think that there's something good coming down the line for Stevenson. Wouldn't surprise me if he ended up leading the way when Harris even comes back.
Foreman also has this little revenge game thing going on this week against Houston. And the Texans have arguably the worst run defense in football. Only 2 lead running backs all year have not scored a rushing touchdown against Houston, and that was James Robinson and Christian McCaffrey, and they had a combined 12 carries, the two of them. McCaffrey left early.
McCaffrey got hurt.
Right, and Robinson, it was week one, and Carlos Hyde had more carries than him. It was weird.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Urban Meyer.
In case you missed it, Foreman was the best running back for the Titans, but Adrian Peterson was consistently in at the goal line. They were using him there. So that's the next step for Deontay. If I said Stevenson, I'm sorry, I meant Foreman. That's the next step for Deontay Foreman, is to get the goal line work, and he hasn't had that. Okay. So yeah, Foreman 7% rostered. I have a feeling he'll be the most added player. Gallman 3% rostered. He'll be up there as well. We can take a look at all the positions and have a general discussion about quarterback right now, because I want to know how you're feeling about quarterback and whether or not you should be picking up streamers. I usually don't even bother, you know, because the starting quarterbacks have been so good. But right now we're seeing, you know, Kyler's been out and Stafford's had 2 duds in a row.
Done by.
And he's on a bye, yeah. You know, I don't know how much you trust Derek Carr if you were going with him. Kirk Cousins has been up and down, so it's kind of an interesting time right now for quarterback. Russell Wilson, I don't know how much you trust him. Anyway, let's do our news and notes. Saquon Barkley looks like he's probably going to play this week. They're at Tampa Bay. And give you a quick stat here, Vita Vea he played 5 games last year in the regular season. I'm just buying time until I scroll down to find, there it is. Played 5 games the regular season last year, and when Vita Vea played, the Bucs allowed 2.48 yards per carry to running backs. The other 11 regular season games, they allowed 3.73 yards per carry to running backs, and I do not think Vita Vea will be playing this week. He's a really important piece. Aaron Jones, 1 to 2 weeks. That's a really promising report. And the third week would be a bye anyway. So it's Minnesota this week. Probably not going to play. Hopefully back for the Rams. But if not, then they have the bye. I think you can feel good about Jones coming back against
it's
Chicago.
It's almost certain he's not playing until the bye, after the bye.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a good chance to play this week. What do you think the backfield looks like there? It was, I think, such an easier question after Darrell Williams had 100 receiving yards on Monday night or whatever it was. Jamie, what do you think the backfield looks like in Kansas City with Edwards-Helaire likely back?
I think Edwards-Helaire will lead them in carries, but I think catches and, you know, short yardage, goal line opportunities will go to Williams because that's kind of what he was doing before Edwards-Helaire got hurt anyway. So, you know, the hope would be is that, you know, Edwards-Helaire gets you the two games that we saw before the injury with 100 yards rushing, and you still get good production out of him with the chance to score. But I think in terms of the high-level touches, you're going to want Darrell Williams. So he'll still be a flex. You know, he's going to lose, obviously, with Edwards-Helaire back on the field because now four of the five games that Edwards-Helaire has missed, it's 19 total touches or more for Williams, which has been fantastic, but that's going to go away. But I don't think Edwards-Helaire comes back and is a must-start fantasy running back.
And Williams, you think, could still be a number three running back?
Yeah, he'll be in a flex conversation for sure. I mean, you know, you'll probably have a game, and it wouldn't be surprising if it's the first game back. Could be this week against Dallas where, you know, Williams doesn't score or has, you know, 3 for 30 in the passing game or, you know, 4 for 20, you know, one of those miserable receiving lines. But still, you'll look at the usage and you'll say, okay, this is something I can still buy into. So you're not cutting him when Edwards-Helaire comes back. And I don't think you necessarily have to bench him in the first matchup, but not going to be a must-start guy anymore, but still a good flex option.
Mm-hmm. They could also continue to use him in the run game if Edwards-Helaire, A, for this week, you know, easing him back in, they don't want to put too much on his plate. B, for the games where Edwards-Helaire starts off averaging 2 yards a carry, and they go, okay, he doesn't have it today. Let's see what Williams has.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is 97% rostered. Miles Sanders is 77% rostered. Edwards-Helaire went on IR, I think, 2 weeks earlier than Miles Sanders, and they both were eligible for an IR spot. It's weird that Sanders is only 77% rostered. So
that's perception.
I know, but yeah, I don't know. It was a long time to hold on to CEH, who wasn't exactly.
Think about where Miles Sanders was at the start of the year with Philadelphia, and then in the game where it felt like they were going to start running more, he got hurt.
Yeah.
It also could be procedural for a lot of fantasy managers because, like you said, Edwards-Helaire went on IR first. So if you have two IR spots, you have to make a decision, you know, depending on who you've been carrying in those spots.
Yeah. All right. Let me get through the rest of the notes here. We got Damian Harris and Cordarrelle Patterson awaiting their statuses for the Thursday night game. Tua is going to start this week at the Jets. It's going to be a close call for Kyler Murray at Seattle. Then they have a bye. What's that, Dave?
Not nice.
No, not nice.
I'm excited about Tua. I can't count on Kyler.
Ben Roethlisberger still uncertain for this week. Baker Mayfield day-to-day. Seems like he'll play against Detroit. Brandon Staley said that Mike Williams' knee injury is not a factor. Can't use that as an excuse. Cam Newton seems likely to start. They haven't officially said it, but he's going to start. Robert Saleh said the Jets quarterback situation is going to resolve itself organically. TJ Watt may be able to play this week. That's great news. Ryan Fitzpatrick, it seems like, is going to be out for the season, if not the entire season, most of it. Pete Carroll said he would address Chris Carson's situation on Wednesday. What are you making of this, Dave? As, again, Alex Collins could be available in some leagues.
Carroll probably just doesn't know where he's at. So they're going to continue to monitor him and let him practice and then make a decision on him. But it sounds to me like it's a little more serious. I mean, anytime there's a neck injury, it's pretty serious, but maybe he's just not quite as ready to come back as was intimated earlier this year.
Cole Beasley seeing reduced playing time because of a rib injury lately. Sterling Shepard seems uncertain for Monday night at Tampa Bay, but Galladay and Tony seem like they're going to go, and same with Barkley. Whitney Mercilus, Green Bay linebacker, he's out for the season, but they've really taken a lot of hits on defense. Ricky Seals-Jones day-to-day with a hip injury. We're hoping Logan Thomas is back this week as well. Pittsburgh safety Minka Fitzpatrick is on the reserve COVID list. And Jared Goff is likely to remain the starter for Detroit. And Vita Vea, as already mentioned, he avoided serious injury. Probably not going to play this week, but unlikely to go on IR. So with that said, let's talk a little bit about quarterback just in general, Jamie. You know, what are we seeing here at the quarterback position? Is it something that's just kind of a little bit of a fluke? with these studs who had such bad games in week 10, and some of them either didn't play or weren't great in week 9, or is it a sign that we really need to be considering streamers more, I guess, at quarterback? What do you think?
I don't necessarily think you're going to see across the board people considering streamers, because as good as potentially Cam, Tua, and Fields can be, most fantasy managers are not going to start them over Russell Wilson or Kyler if he plays, or, you know, these other, you know, maybe Kirk Cousins and maybe Derek Carr, you know, just going by the guys that you mentioned. But I doubt when we're past the bye weeks and we get through, you know, some of these injury concerns, you're going to most likely go back to your guys, depending on what happens in the interim. So we've seen Tua do well in great matchups, and this is a great matchup against the Jets. We saw Cam, like Dave said, in the small sample size, 13 fantasy points. So what could happen when he's facing maybe even a worse defense this week, for example, against Washington, with a full, you know, workload, full, you know, allotment of snaps and being the starter. Fields, you know, had one great game, one good game, but he's looking better and he's running more. So all three of those guys are certainly in the conversation to replace those struggling starters. I asked Pete Prisco this question yesterday on HQ, on FFT, and he said he spoke to some guys around the league during the week. And he said, you know, the thing that they're noticing is, you know, because most, as we're well aware, offenses have such an advantage that defenses are trying to become so creative in how they're, you know, trying to stop these guys. And the example he brought up was the obvious one, which is the Ravens and the Dolphins, and how the Dolphins just threw an entirely different wrinkle at Baltimore and Baltimore didn't adjust. And so we start to see more of those things moving forward. You know, you can make a case that the 49ers did that against the Rams, you know, and they brought this up on the broadcast, on the Manning cast, at least. I know, Adam, you were the only one watching the other one. Mm-hmm. But they brought it up, you know, about how the Titans kind of exposed the Rams' interior offensive line a little bit, just bringing That's pressure exactly up the middle, right. And how Stafford struggled in that game. And so I think we'll see some things like that moving forward. But, you know, offenses will, I'm sure, readjust and get, you know, still more of an advantage. But to answer your question in a long-winded way, I think most fantasy managers will stick with the guys that they have been starting because it requires carrying two quarterbacks. I don't think many people want to do that. They don't have to.
Oh, that's a good point. You don't want to use that roster spot. I don't really feel like I'm watching the game when I watch the Manning cast. I think that's my issue. You don't get the crowd noise. You know,
it's just, there's crowd noise.
I don't know. It just.
Will Nicholson was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. He was an intrepid reporter, or yep. At least a curious fanatic. Like he just kept hammering them with questions and then kind of throwing barbs at him while asking the questions.
I thought Rivers would be better, but it was really fun to watch Eli get squirmish when Peyton asked yeah. Rivers about if he ever thought what would happen if he ended up in New York and Eli ended yeah. up with the Chargers.
Oh man, I wish I had seen that. Well, Steve Levy was great. So and they were quoting Step Brothers. Give them a little credit. All right, Jamie, officially, I think you probably just ran it off, but officially, who are the top three quarterbacks to add this week?
For me, it would go Cam 1, Tua 2, and I've gone back and forth on those two guys. I actually would start Tua over Cam this week, so if you're just looking at a one-week replacement, Tua's better. But I think long-term, especially when you look at the schedules, I like Cam a little bit better. And then Fields is third. You know, I'm hopeful for all three of them to be, you know, become weekly starters. And Fields has a great matchup this week as well. He's in the starting conversation also. But I don't want to overreact to him scoring over 20 fantasy points just once this season to say he's better than what Tua has shown you in some good matchups and what Cam could potentially show you with the weapons he has around.
Both Tua and Cam have a bye. What do you think, guys, about Cam Newton's postseason schedule, if anybody actually cares about that? I mean, you might just be picking him up for one.
That's week. Not fun. Yes, you're right. Yeah. Postseason schedule's not fun.
Buffalo, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. That's his fantasy postseason schedule, weeks 15.
Although Tampa Bay, who knows what they look like by the time we get there.
Yeah. I want to say their defense is playing better lately, but it's hard to make
Losing
that case.
Guys doesn't help.
Yeah, well, who'd they lose? They lost Vea.
Yeah.
But they're getting healthier. They're getting healthier in the secondary.
But well, yes. They weren't healthy on Sunday. Sherman got hurt in pregame warm-ups.
I forgot about Sherman, yeah.
And Dee Delaney was a backup, and he got hurt during the game.
Yeah, but Carlton Davis coming back, and who knows with Murphy Bunting.
Murphy Bunting could come back soon, too. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with that secondary. But
that situation, though, for Cam doesn't really matter.
Right.
It's not about the
right.
secondary. It's more about what they do stopping him.
Yeah. I feel like even you know, in recent Cam Newton, go back a few years ago when he was a starter for the Panthers, matchups didn't necessarily matter for him. It really just mattered if he got in the end zone, because you know he's not going to throw for a lot of yards. And he was a frustrating guy. I recall it's a roller coaster ride with Cam, and it was just, did he score that one-yard touchdown, or two of them, you know, a game? And he had these huge games and some really bad games yeah. as well.
And I'm worried that we're completely not thinking about the downside with Newton. Like, we're all totally absorbed into the storyline of him going back to Carolina and having some fun. But there's, like, we saw horrible play from him last year, and we saw horrible play from him the last time he was in Carolina. So I'm just worried that, like, the narrative is fun and I love it and I'm glad he's back, but I don't think his arm is suddenly going to, you know, turn into Peyton Manning's arm or anything like that.
I think the thing, though, when you look at the three guys we're talking about here, they all have flaws. I mean, you know, Tua's certainly shown you his flaws, and is he going to stay healthy? Fields has shown you his flaws early in the season, and who knows if he's completely cured of everything that he was dealing with. He still has an interception each of the last two games as well. So, you know, all of these guys, I think, have a positive and certainly a negative, that they're not must-start guys rest of the way. So it's just a matter of which guy you buy into the most.
All right, Dave. Someone, Ronald in our chat, wants to see your T-shirt. It looks like Red Fox. I really want him to show it. Please. Is it?
I'll show it. On Ask FFT, noon Eastern, on November 16th, 2021, on CBS Sports HQ.
All right. What a tease. All right, Dave, the top running backs.
For me, it's Ramondre Stevenson, number one, far and away. It's the only guy this week I would spend more than 11% of my fab on. I think it's going to take close to 20% to get him because there's going to be a lot of hype around him. Deontay Foreman is second best for me. And then after that, I don't have a clear-cut third guy. If you want to wait for Latavius Murray, it's not exciting. You can go grab him. Ty Johnson's giving you a safe PPR floor in four of his last five games. Brandon Bolden is still out there in half the leagues. You can speculate on Gallman, speculate on Eno Benjamin, speculate on Rex Burkhead. I don't have a top three, Adam. I have a top two. And then after Deontay Foreman, the rest of the list is crap. And usually, if Deontay Foreman is on a list, it's a crap list. But in this case, Foreman is getting such an opportunity that he's better than the crap, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, but don't you
feel... He's no longer crap.
Don't you feel like Gallman is going to have a role? I really don't... Okay, obviously Patterson could play.
Yeah, okay.
But
go ahead.
But Gallman could have a role, and he might just be better than Mike Davis. I know that's, they haven't shown that he's ahead of Mike Davis. He only works in garbage time. But they use two backs every week.
Sure. So there's a chance that Gallman plays in a secondary role, or maybe he even starts and Davis keeps the role that he's been in. This coaching staff knew what they had in Mike Davis before the season, in the season. They studied their offense after the bye. And even after the bye, when Mike Davis's playing time was going down, they didn't turn to Wayne Gallman then. And I've heard Arthur Smith talk about it in interviews. Gallman's been playing great. We really should get him more time. They never really did. So maybe now is the time where they do it, when they're just pushed into a corner and they need to put another running back on the field. But the point of adding somebody off the waiver wire is for what? To speculate, to see if they can become something? Are we really living in a world where Wayne Gallman becomes something significant in this version of the Atlanta Falcons offense? I don't know.
If Davis continues to stink, absolutely he can be relevant.
Right. Okay. Look, you already said it's not easy to find the third guy off waivers. So I'm just thinking, like, I have in our podcast league, okay, I've been starting, finally got McCaffrey back, but I've been starting Darrell Williams every week. He's my number two running back.
Now you're going to need to pivot, right?
Javonte Williams is my third running back, right? So I think, as running backs start to get healthy, some of these replacement options might not be there anymore. So yeah, I think if Gallman can get 10 carries and a couple of catches against the Patriots, he might be okay. You never know.
Yeah, see, you say Foreman's going to be the most added guy. I would hope he's going to be the most added guy, but I would not be surprised if Gallman is the most added guy, because they're both coming from the same range. And I think people are going to see, okay, there's nothing changing from the Titans right now. Like, we could sit here and say Foreman should be the guy. He should get the goal line opportunities. He should maybe be a little bit more of a factor in the passing game.
Okay.
We don't know if the Titans are going to do that.
Yeah.
But at least in Atlanta, you know there's a guy potentially gone. And so, you know, I'm going to guess, just based on how our projections usually work on Sportsline, they're probably going to project Gallman for more fantasy points if there is no Patterson than they are for Foreman. And so that's going to obviously get people's attention as well. So it's just a matter of, you know, how it shakes out. But I would not be surprised if Gallman's the most added running back this week.
Yeah, by the way, when we say most added, that does not mean that we think he should be added ahead of Ramondre Stevenson. It just means he has, you know, he's Stevenson's 51% rostered. Right. Stevenson's 51% rostered. Foreman is like 7%. Gallman, 3%. So they just have more room to go up. They'll end up being the most added.
Yeah, you know, I take that back. since Stevenson's at the point where he's at, I don't think we'll see Gallman or Foreman over 50% added. So Stevenson will probably be close to 90%, and I'm going to guess those other guys are close to 30 to 40%.
Okay. Jamie, top wide receivers. We haven't talked too much about this. I know you like Mooney. Who else?
Yeah, Mooney would be the number one guy for me. Bateman's still second, just based on what we saw in the game against Miami, and I think he's still going to hold on to that role. And then I'll go back to Jacoby Myers third. It was nice to see him finally score a touchdown. I think Mac Jones continue to get better, and they get the woeful Falcons this week. So I like the situation for Myers this week and hopefully moving forward.
I think wide receivers really interesting. You got three.
It's a muddled group.
What's that?
It's a huge,
very muddled group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I hate to go here because it's me, but you do have three Giants, maybe only two, with Sterling Shepard not necessarily playing this week. And then you got like two Jets guys even. So if we just stay in the New York, New Jersey area, if you had to pick one from the Giants or the Jets, who would it be? And are you at all excited about those players?
I'm not excited about them, but I would still go. If you give me the choice of Corey Davis who's at 66%, I would go Davis one, Moore two, Galladay three, Tony four.
Dave?
Galladay is number one for me. He's given you at least 10 PPR points in three of the four games he's played, minimum 35 snaps. He's averaged 6.5 targets per game in those four games. It's just a matter of whether or not he can stay healthy. He would be one. Corey Davis, if we're throwing him in there, would be two. Shepard, if we're looking rest of season, would be three. Elijah Moore, Kadarius Toney. I guess I'll take Moore over Toney, four and five.
I know Jamie didn't put Shepard in his rankings.
Yeah, I would go Davis, Shepard, Moore, Galladay, Toney.
Okay. Dave, who are the top tight ends to get?
If you think that Logan Thomas has a chance to play this week, you should make him a target. If you can stash him on your IR, you should make him a target. He's available in 48% of leagues. But if you don't want to wait for him, or if you think you can wait for him and not pick him up when waivers run in your league Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, go right to Dan Arnold. He's number one. Great target volume over the last three or four games for him. 49% available. My second favorite tight end is just a one-week guy. It's Bengals tight end C.J. Uzomah.
That's it.
Uzomah.
You nailed it.
C.J. Umata. I'm not sure what exactly it is, but I like the matchup for him, and I think that he can end up being a good one-week guy. Now, if you're not interested in a one-week guy, you want a multi-week guy, Arnold clearly ahead of him. I think Tyler Conklin has earned some love and deserves to go ahead of him as a multi-week guy. Cole Kmet is going to be another interesting Chicago Bears player. He's available in 86% of leagues. And if all those guys are somehow gone, Adam Trautman, 97% available. He's been getting an uptick in playing time and targets really since Simeon became the quarterback for Nolans.
All right, to recap here, top quarterback priorities, Cam Newton, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Fields. Running back, Stevenson and Foreman are going to be one and two. And then you could go Gallman three, maybe Latavius Murray, maybe a pass-catching guy like Brandon Bolden. Like
Ty Johnson or Brandon Bolden. Right. Right.
Ty Johnson has five or more catches in three of his last four games. And the other game in there, he had a receiving touchdown.
The problem with Ty Johnson, though, is Zach Wilson's probably starting again.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. Wide receiver Darnell Mooney, Rashad Bateman, Jacoby Myers. That was the top three for Jamie. I think Dave would have Galladay up there. And
Galladay, Shepard, Bateman for me if it's rest of season. If it's not rest of season, it's Galladay, Bateman, Mooney.
Okay. And then tight end, Dan Arnold, Logan Thomas. Then you got like C.J. Uzomah, who Dave likes, Cole Kmet, Tyler Conklin. And there are other names. There are a lot of guys in the same boat. Evan Engram will be in there as well against Tampa Bay. DSTs, Jamie, who do we got? And kickers.
The Dolphins would be the best. You know, just hoping that what we saw last week, really the last 2 weeks, but last week against Baltimore, where it seemed as if Brian Flores had more of a hand in the play calling, but clearly they're getting healthier and they're looking pretty dominant, and they get the Jets with most likely Zach Wilson, which is a good spot. The Panthers against Washington, their defense has played fantastic for the majority of the season, but certainly the last 3 weeks. 49ers get the Jaguars, Packers. You know, if you want to buy into what they've been doing, I get it, but we'll see if Minnesota has anything to offer, but I'll still put them on the list. And then the Chargers, if it's Mason Rudolph, even though it's going to be a Steelers home game in Los Angeles, I still think you look at Mason Rudolph against any defense, you'll take your chances more times than not. Kickers would be Nick Folk, still continuing to produce and still under 65% rostered. Randy Bullock, same situation. Zane Gonzalez, I didn't realize was a top 10 kicker, so you know you can buy into him with the offense potentially improving as well. Saunders, against the Jets. And we know the Jets have been really good for opposing kickers. And the same thing with Robbie Gould against the Jaguars.
Is it Jason Saunders?
It's Jason Sanders.
I was like, what? Yeah, so the Dolphins, not only do they have the Jets this week, they have the Panthers next week. And obviously the Panthers are much worse with Sam Darnold, but it's not a bad matchup. And then they have the Giants. So it's Jets, Panthers, Giants, next three games for the Dolphins. Then they have a bye. Then they have the Jets. You might get some good weeks out of the Dolphins DST. Dave, you got any IDP?
I do. Davion Taylor has been a starter at linebacker for Philadelphia. He's had at least 7 total tackles, 6 solo each of his last 2 games. He would be the first priority for me. Texans, Kamu Grugier-Hill is the next guy up. He's been playing a lot, and they're coming off the bye. If you want a Texans linebacker that's going to stop a lot of runs, he would be the one to get. Titans linebacker Monty Rice had 11 total tackles against New Orleans. He would be next up. And then just 2 other guys on the peripheral, at defensive back Eric Rowe for Miami, and on the D-line Marcus Davenport for the New Orleans Saints.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll recap San Francisco 31, Rams 10. We'll get the drop-o-meter out, and we'll go back over the waiver wire with some more names that you need to know. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
San Francisco 31 and the Rams 10. And San Francisco just with a great game plan. Now, I didn't officially see this, but I do think this is the case. Did you guys see is the drive they had in the first quarter? Believe it was the longest drive of the season, time-wise.
Like 11 minutes.
Yeah, because the longest drive of the season, from what I saw, was the Washington football team.
Washington won, fourth quarter.
Yeah, and then I think, I'm pretty sure the Niners one was longer, just in terms of time. And they had the ball for over 39 minutes in this game. So they just, to be honest with you, they didn't run all that well, I guess, but they ran a lot. No. And they kept converting on third down and such. Anyway.
They used paper cuts to take down the Rams.
What were your big takeaways, Dave?
That the 49ers used paper cuts to take down the Rams. That LA's offensive line is a problem. And I remember thinking, like, when they acquired Odell Beckham, my first thought was a sarcastic, can he block? Because I knew that the offensive line was going to start to become an issue for them. And then I thought, well, maybe they think that they can get defenses to play back a little bit and, you know, only rush 4 and not blitz very often because the receiving core would be so deep. And then Robert Woods got hurt. So I feel like this isn't the expectation for Stafford moving forward. I think he's going to have some good games. He'll eventually get on the same page with OBJ where he's not chucking it in his general vicinity where it's just an easy interception 40 plus yards downfield like he did in the first quarter. And Kupp is still the man. Van Jefferson's going to have a significant role rest of season. That's good to see.
Well, let's talk about Beckham versus Jefferson.
I also think the Rams have to get back to running the football more.
Uh-huh.
They can't ignore it. And it's been a staple of what Sean McVay's done. I know it kind of gets thrown, you know, out of the headlines a little bit, but they got to try and get their ground game going again.
All right, but how do you feel about Beckham versus Jefferson? Beckham just, you know, I didn't see the snap count. He played 27% of the snaps. So obviously they were easing him in. Jefferson plays most of the snaps, most games, but I think it's discouraging that he's had 6 to 7 targets, 4 straight games, and he's been under 50 yards in 3 of them. And in this game, you know,
he bobbled a touchdown.
Dropped a touchdown. He dropped a slant, I think it was, that could have been, I don't know, maybe like a 20-yard gain. He could have had a huge game. But the box score doesn't show that. So Beckham versus Jefferson going forward, who would you take?
I think I'd rather have Beckham on the hunch that he ends up getting more targets and that Van Jefferson settles back into that role that he had when Beckham wasn't there and Woods was there, which is to say that Van Jefferson will matter. He'll be okay. Maybe he's like a number 3 fantasy receiver, but Odell can be a better number 3 receiver just because I think it's clear from the interception. They don't mind trying him as a downfield guy, and Stafford has better downfield accuracy than Baker Mayfield does. So I would imagine that those two will eventually learn to connect with each other.
Jamie, would you drop Van Jefferson or Odell Beckham for Darnell Mooney or whoever else, Rashad Bateman?
I mean, if I need a receiver for this week, I would drop Jefferson for Mooney, but I'd like to stash Jefferson. Like you said, he's got at least 6 targets in 3 games in a row. We have to see what they do with Beckham. You know, that last night wasn't a good indication of what this offense is going to look like, you know, because the offensive line struggled, because they were trying to work Beckham in, because they got the shock of losing Robert Woods on Friday, you know, so there wasn't a lot of practice time to adjust. So I think give them a bye, see what happens coming off the bye. So if you could stash Jefferson, certainly do that. Obviously, you should be stashing Odell Beckham because hopefully there's a strong finish for the season without Woods on the field. So I would like to hold on to the Rams if I can while they're off.
Boy, Daryl Henderson's really struggling lately. He's got 8 or fewer PPR, 5 or fewer, 5 or fewer non-PPR points in 4 of his last 5 games, I think, or is it 3 of his last 4? Yeah, 3 of his last 4. I'm sorry, Dave. You said they have to get back to running the ball more, but you know, is Daryl Henderson? Do you think he's in line for a strong finish?
I think he is. Without looking at the matchups and knowing exactly what they're up against, I think the Rams will go back to him. And I think he's a tremendous buy low candidate right now. His value's in the tank. So if you need a running back, he might be the guy to go trade for. And then also pick up Sony Michel at the same time. You're going to have to make 2 transactions to lock up this Rams backfield, but I think it'll be worth it.
Once again, Daryl Henderson evaluated for an injury. And how often does a guy get evaluated for a concussion and come back? You know, he did come back, thankfully, but he's flirting with injuries and he's already missed time once this year.
That's why you need Michelle if you've got Henderson.
And Michelle's 45% rostered. You should probably, if you can, pick him up anyway. He's probably going to get dropped going into his bye in some leagues. Okay. Deebo Samuel is a legit star. I just completely underestimated him. Now he's a running back.
It was fun. They lined up Mitchell at receiver a couple times and Deebo in the backfield.
It was amazing. I just, how could you say sell high at this point, right? Just like, what do you think about Deebo, Jamie, rest of season?
Sell high? No, you're loving this. I mean, he's been arguably the best fantasy receiver based on his draft capital, you know, from where you got him and where he is now, you know, so. You know, you could say the same thing about Cup, but Cup was like a 4th round pick, fifth round pick maybe. But Deebo Samuel was, you know, double digits. He's my biggest whiff by far, you know. So I did not expect him to do this. I thought this would be Ayuk, you know, leading the way for the 49ers receiving core, and Debo's back to being a supercharged version of what he was 2 years ago. So it's awesome. Hopefully Jimmy G keeps the job. You've noted this, Adam. I think somebody brought it up to you that and it's improved, obviously, that they're in the playoff race and stronger than ever right now, with a good matchup against Jacksonville coming up in week 12. So no reason to see Trey Lance playing anytime soon, which is great for the receiving core there. And he's done this now this week, you know, last week was a little bit more frustrating, but having this game with Ayuk and George Kittle on the field, you know, it's a good sign that he's still going to be a pretty dominant force.
And as far as Ayuk goes, I'm sorry. Would you drop Ayuk in general or hang on?
I would drop him for some of the receivers.
I mean, I would like to hold him if I can. You know, again, it's a game where they didn't have to throw very much, and they may not have to against Jacksonville. They may not have to very much moving forward, but at least you saw some flashes in the two previous games, you know, so I would still prefer to hold him. Like, I don't know if there's much more upside for Mooney or the Jets guys or the Giants guys based on what Ayuk can offer as well.
So
I'd go the other way. I would drop him for Galladay and PPR leagues. If I could wait for Sterling Shepard, I would drop him for Shepard. I would drop him for Bateman. I would drop him for Mooney.
I mean, just because you brought it up, how do you have any faith in the Giants wide receivers? How do you have any faith in their offense?
I don't. None of it. Shepard is just the only one. And the fact that he's hurt is frustrating because,
agree.
The thing that we've seen, Ingram's playing better. You know, two touchdowns in his last three games. His targets have gone up. Galladay, is he going to stay healthy? Tony, is he going to be involved when everybody else is on the field? I don't have a lot of faith in them. And like we said, the Tampa Bay secondary is getting better. I don't know how Daniel Jones will do in a primetime matchup against that defense. Coming off two straight losses, by the way, also.
Oh, I know. I was so pissed that Washington beat Tampa Bay. I was like, oh, gosh, now we're going to get pummeled.
I saw somebody tweet, though, that Daniel Jones must be super excited that Trevor Siemian and Taylor Heineke have just beaten Tom Brady back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, the Bucs are going to show up. I mean, it's not really a far drive for them. They should show up. Do you know who the one seeds are right now in their respective
Tennessee.
Conferences?
In the conferences?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Tennessee and the AFC.
And Arizona, right?
No. Green Bay.
Oh, Green Bay,
beat Arizona. Yeah, Tennessee is the one. And Carolina is the seven.
Tennessee has such an easy path to hold the one.
Yeah, they really do.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be that team that gets the bye and then loses in the divisional round? They lose the home game?
Probably.
Henry could definitely be back. Keep that in mind.
Henry could be back. Yeah. It's been, I mean, Mike Vrabel's looking like the coach of the year if they get the one. Their defense, what it's become based on where it was, like the identity of this team has flipped completely.
They could be really dangerous if Derrick Henry's back. Okay, let's go to the drop-o-meter. Ryan Tannehill, speaking of first place starting quarterback, he's got Houston this week. Drop-o-meter on Tannehill.
2-5
Are you starting him this week?
You could.
Like I have... the league where you beat me, which is our IDP league, my quarterbacks are Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill, so that's an easy one.
Start him ahead of Fields.
He's a low end starter.
Yeah, I would start Tua ahead of him. I just like the matchup against the Jets for Tua.
But I'm just but let me
probably
just,
the only streaming guy.
Yeah, for Tannehill, it's if you're not starting him this week against Houston, I don't think you're going to start him at New England, and then he has a bye. So if you're holding on to him and you're not using him this week, it's probably 3 weeks in a row where you're not using him. Just keep that in mind. How about Jeremy McNichols and or Adrian Peterson? How droppable are they?
McNichols is a 9.
25 plus.
Peterson is like a 7.
Could score this week.
He could. He can get you exactly what he got you 2 weeks ago. 10 for 21 and a touchdown.
He looked a little bit better.
10 for 21 or 8 for 21 and nothing.
Yeah, he looked a little bit better, but I mean, this is a three-headed monster until one of them either separates from the pack or another one of them gets hurt.
Drop-o-meter on Cole Beasley, 93% rostered.
0-3
Emmanuel Sanders, 97% rostered.
4-4
Jarvis Landry, 82%.
12 in non-PPR, 6 in PPR.
Donovan Peoples-Jones, 81%.
He's droppable.
Flip it from what Dave said, PPR versus non-PPR.
Gotcha. Yeah, Peoples-Jones probably going to be one of those guys where he's up, he's down, he's some good games, you know.
Right. He was the one that suffered from what Odell suffered from for all that time in Cleveland. He had an end zone target that was off target. Couldn't catch it. I think he dropped another pass. Like he had a bad game in a big opportunity against the Patriots.
Marvin Jones, 89% rostered, 0-10.
10.
Bye.
But what was that? A bye or a 5?
Bye. Goodbye. Okay. Adios.
Trevor Lawrence has thrown 5 touchdown passes since week 1. Cortland Sutton, 96% rostered, going into his bye week. Comes back, gets the Chargers.
See ya.
Bye. Okay.
10.
Ten.
What a shame. To the waiver wire. So, all right, Cam Newton, Tua, and Fields. That's Jamie's order for this week. Or did you say you like Tua better this week?
If you need a 1 week replacement, Tua would be the best way to go for 1 week. But I think Cam has a little bit higher ceiling moving forward.
Okay. Does Fields have the highest ceiling moving forward?
Yes.
You can argue that. But I think, again, they're all three kind of very similar. You know, you've seen Tua's been, you know, not fair to say to Cam, but Tua's been the best of these, of this trio in terms of his highs from what we saw against Jacksonville and Atlanta. Cam obviously has a pedigree that you can buy into, and Fields is a wild card, you know, so he's looked much better the last 2 weeks, but as a result of looking better, only one game over 20 fantasy points, you know, so is he going to just look good and not have big production? Is he going to be in a game where, you know, Baltimore's defense finally figures it out? I doubt that, but, you know, the hope would be as he continues to run 38 rushing yards or more in four straight games and his receiving corps starting to play better, you know, with Cole Kmet coming on in the game against Pittsburgh, what Darnell Mooney's done, and maybe whatever he gets out of Allen Robinson, which is the crappiest thing to say that he's the one you have to throw in. But I think there's a lot to like about all three of these guys, to be honest with you. They're all going to, you know, use their legs to a certain extent. Tua, honestly, might be underselling his ceiling if he gets back Devontae Parker and Will Fuller down the stretch.
Right, and they have such a bad run game. So
And they've been one of the pass-heaviest teams all year. So right. I think you can make that case for Tua. I like Tua the best just for week 11, but Fields is getting more comfortable. You can tell when you watch him play. The fact that he's running more than he did earlier this season is a huge perk for him. The offensive line in Chicago might end up being the biggest and healthiest offensive line in all of football for the rest of the season. They're getting back Tevin Jenkins. He should man one of the tackle spots. Recently, they got back Larry Borum. So that offensive line could be really, really good. And that will only help Justin Fields. And I got this weird feeling that Allen Robinson's going to end up mattering in the second half of the season. I think Fields has a chance to be maybe a league winner. So I'm really happy to try and stash him first, even if I don't necessarily need, if I really, like if I've got Josh Allen, I'm not getting Justin Fields. But if I've been kind of streaming or if I'm a little nervous about Justin Herbert and I can get Justin Fields, I'm taking him first ahead of Tua and Cam Newton.
Okay, yeah. The last time we saw Justin Fields, it seemed like he had a breakout moment. We'll see if he can continue it, but it was really good down the stretch against the Steelers. Now,
and he's been making great throws, especially intermediate and downfield throws, like last three or four games. Like he's really been showing off what his upside is, and it's just a matter of him. It's a matter of time of him meeting that upside. But is it going to be in 2021 or 2022? And my hunch is that because the offensive line is going to be healthier, that it's going to be 2021.
And last thing, Baltimore is just really not that good of a defense this year. So you see Baltimore on the schedule.
To fall apart a little.
Not that tough. Jimmy Garoppolo is playing pretty well lately. He only scored 19 points last night, but that was on 19 pass attempts. That's coming after two straight games with 320 plus yards.
Jacksonville's prop. We hit on FFT yesterday.
What's that? Oh, the prop?
Yep. Yeah. 121 completions plus 100.
Nice. Jacksonville, the last two quarterbacks to face them were Allen and Wentz. They scored 16 points combined. So I don't know how you feel about Garoppolo this week against this surging defense.
They're playing much better. Absolutely playing much better for Jacksonville.
All right, look, Jacksonville, you got Jimmy Garoppolo, you got Mac Jones facing Atlanta. They're horrible. Taylor Heinicke at Carolina. I'll throw in Trevor Siemian at Philadelphia. Baker Mayfield against Detroit. Anyone that's going to crack your top 15?
No.
The last three that you mentioned?
No. Garoppolo, Jones, Heinicke, Siemian, Mayfield.
No. Is Mayfield even going to play?
Supposedly.
They say he's going to. They said that he could have come back in, but they were just getting walloped, so they didn't even bother. Mac is my favorite of the bunch, but none of them are top 15.
All right, let's go to running backs then. Let's talk about some guys we haven't discussed. Okay, so if Mike Davis, Miles Sanders, and Alex Collins, I asked Dave earlier, and you said Sanders, right?
I did.
Okay. Jamie, how about you? Mike Davis, Miles Sanders, Alex Collins?
Yeah, Sanders for sure. Yeah, I wouldn't even consider Alex Collins at this point. They're using too many guys without Chris Carson there.
But are they? Because I mean,
They were expected to this past week.
All right. How about Jordan Howard?
He's not good.
Jordan Howard, yeah, well, you could say that. Jordan Howard's 71% rostered. And, you know, we don't know that Sanders has come back this week, first of all. But also, they have the Saints, unfortunately. So if you saw Howard out there and you saw Ramondre Stevenson out there, who would you go with?
Stevenson by a mile.
Maybe even a mile and a half.
If you saw Miles Sanders out there and Stevenson, who would you go with?
Sanders.
Am I looking for a running back for this week or for the rest of the season?
Well, you answer both.
Stevenson for this week, Sanders rest of season.
Okay. I mentioned this on yesterday's show.
And yeah, that could come back to bite you because Harris could play. But by Tuesday, we'll have a better idea of that.
Yes. So anyway, I mentioned on yesterday's show, a writer for The Athletic, just speculating. I'll just read the quote. He said, oh, wait, I have it in Slack with Dave. Sorry, I got to look it up. All right, well, I'll come back to that.
Adam doesn't have his stuff entirely ready to tell you about Miles. Didn't he say something
he
like,
said,
even though Sanders is coming back for an hour to...
What happens when Miles Sanders is healthy enough to return? The running back will be eligible to come off IR as soon as this week, but it's fair to wonder if the Eagles won't mind if he takes his time coming back. Sanders is Philadelphia's most explosive running back, to be sure, but he might not be the one best served by the offense's style at the moment. If the Eagles want someone to take what's there instead of dancing in search of the big play, the Scott-Howard combination is working just fine, thank you very much. Something to think about. All right.
Ooh, the thank you very much.
Yeah, right? Okay, other running backs. We got to get into the deeper leagues here. We've got, okay, it was Stevenson, Foreman, Gallman, Latavius Murray. Jeff Wilson had 10 carries, but Eli Mitchell had, I believe, 27. Patrick Taylor is the number two running back, presumably, for the Packers. Aaron Jones
until Jones comes back.
Aaron Jones missed a couple of games last year, and A.J. Dillon was the number two running back, and he had five or six touches in those two games. Eno Benjamin, Ty Johnson, you got Brandon Bolden and Boston Scott who are in the mix. I don't know. Jamie, you have any thoughts on some of the names I just mentioned? That'd be Patrick Taylor, Eno Benjamin, Ty Johnson, Jeff Wilson, Brandon Bolden, Boston Scott.
Yeah, I have no interest in Ty Johnson unless Michael Carter's hurt, especially with Tevin Coleman back. I have no interest in Brandon Bolden right now with what Stevenson's showing you. In terms of those other guys, Wilson could be a lottery ticket because if something happens to Elijah Mitchell, as we've said for many, many weeks now, when he's healthy, I think he'll end up being the second best guy there. And they didn't even bother to use Trey Sermon with Jamichael Hasty out. I don't think Jamichael Hasty would be the lead guy, so Jeff Wilson should be added if you have a roster spot to play with. Taylor's a short-term speculative ad. What happens if A.J. Dillon goes down and Aaron Jones is more than just 1 to 2 weeks? So if you have an open roster spot in deeper leagues there, I'd put him behind Benjamin because Benjamin, we know, is going to be the second guy for Arizona. With Chase Edmonds out maybe 4 to 6 weeks, he's on IR, so at least 2 more weeks. So, you know, I would go Wilson, Benjamin, Taylor, and I wouldn't care about Ty Johnson or Brandon Bolden, these guys right now.
Okay, you wouldn't care about Ty Johnson if Mike White started?
If Mike White starts, yes, then I would have more interest in him, but I don't think we're going to see Mike White again. I think the pumpkin he's turned into a pumpkin again.
What about Boston Scott? You said no on him, 54%?
No, I mean, Miles Sanders is coming back, and he's still in a timeshare. So he looked really good against the Broncos, but you know, he's not been great in the interim without Sanders on the field.
We don't know for sure that Sanders is back this week, though, do we?
We do not know, but I would anticipate him coming back this week.
Yeah, and they have really beat up on terrible run defenses. And this week they get the best one in football in New Orleans. We'll see how that plays out. Okay, wide receivers. You've got Corey Davis just missing the cut. He's 66%. Where would he be on your list, Jamie? Which is Darnell Mooney 1, Bateman 2, Jacoby Myers 3. Where would Corey Davis fall?
He would be 3rd.
Okay. And then you have Elijah Moore, Michael Gallup, Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney. Dave likes Golladay a lot more than that. Let's talk about guys that are available in almost every league. Ray McLeod for the Steelers. 12 targets. That was wild. And he should have had a touchdown. Deonte Harris. And basically all of the Saints guys. DeAndre Carter. 2 straight games with 51 to 56 yards and a touchdown for Washington. Marcus Johnson for Tennessee just had 100 yards. Brian Edwards is more rostered than them, but he's only 27% rostered. Gabriel Davis. Dave, maybe there's someone else out there, but Ray McLeod, Saints receivers, DeAndre Carter, Marcus Johnson, Brian Edwards, Gabriel Davis. What do you think about these guys?
They're good, but the one that I would tell you is Jamal Agnew, who's available in 86% of leagues. He's given you at least 10 PPR points in four of his last five. Don't look and see how he's done it, because it's been fluky as hell, but he's managed to do it, and it's 12 PPR, three of his last four. He's got a role in this Jacksonville offense, and I don't know if he's in jeopardy of losing it because he didn't make any catches last week, but he had that explosive 69-yard touchdown run. And I think that that's going to propel him to continue to see work in the offense. He's my favorite of the guys that you mentioned. Bryan Edwards should be getting more targets. He's just not getting a lot of them. I think it's like four per game. But big, physical, rangy outside receiver. He should be getting more work in Las Vegas. And I think he does have breakout potential. I just wish he'd get more targets. He would be second for me on the list. And Deontay Harris is third. He's only been playing about a third of the snaps. He's given you at least 10 PPR points in four of his last five. Don't look and see how he's done it, but just be happy that he's giving it to you. I wonder if he eventually ascends in New Orleans offense, plays a little bit more. They use that speed a little bit more, and his target rate goes even higher than it's been. His target rate's been pretty good, better than Bryan Edwards. And he could end up being somebody who could help you out a little bit, maybe as like a spot starting number three receiver, a bye week guy.
So, Adam, I want to go back to Ray McLeod for a second, because you mentioned the targets and first game without Chase Claypool. Is it a byproduct of that's a guy that Mason Rudolph is comfortable with, or is it going to be something that changes when Ben Roethlisberger is back on the field? So he's absolutely worth speculating on, because if Claypool's going to miss time with that toe injury and these are the opportunities he's going to get, he could be really special in PPR.
And Jamie, I want to finish up on the wide receivers and talk more about the Mooney group, you know, Mooney, Bateman, Myers, Elijah Moore, Gallup, Giants wide receivers. If we're just thinking long term, who in this group do you think has, and I'll throw Corey Davis in there too, who in this group do you think has must start potential in your fantasy playoffs? Well, I can't believe I'm relying on Corey Davis or Mooney or Tony or whatever.
Mooney. I mean, you know, we can't sit here and say Fields is playing better and has this great opportunity in front of him without looking at who's been his best receiver for the majority of the season. And so while Robinson may have an opportunity and Kmet may have an opportunity, Mooney's proven that he can be a go-to guy for Justin Fields so far. And so schedule sets up nicely for him. I think we'll see, you know, if Fields does have better protection and he's more comfortable, that's the guy he's going to look for down the field. So Mooney could be a league winner, absolutely.
Okay. Maybe there's more than one. I didn't know.
If you want to go more than one,
there are a lot of potential on this list here.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential. I mean, you know, Bateman is somebody that they're going to continue to use. And, you know, I think it just based on how Lamar Jackson's playing and throwing the ball right now, you know, you got to be encouraged by the continued growth and taking a step forward in the last game, even though they looked miserable. But that was the game with Sammy Watkins on the field and Watkins struggled. So I think he has the potential also to be, you know, number three receiver in three receiver leagues. I don't think any of these guys are top 24 guys. Mooney would be the closest, but, you know, with all the Giants healthy, I think it's going to be tough to trust any of them. With the Jets guys, you know, how will Zach Wilson, you know, play with everybody there? You know, we saw Moore had a lot of his best production when Corey Davis was out with the hip injury. You know, so does Davis coming back just kind of wreck that a little bit? That's the concern there. Myers is, you know, I don't think he's going to all of a sudden start finding the end zone on a regular basis. But PPR wise, you know, you've seen some of the potential for him. So, you know, that's somebody you could buy into as well.
Let's take a look at the tight ends now. If Hunter Henry, Dave, were available, he's 77% rostered. He's got the most unsustainable profile, but would you pick up Hunter Henry or Dan Arnold?
I'd pick up Arnold just because I know that he's getting more targets, and just because he hasn't scored a touchdown yet doesn't mean that he's never, ever, ever going to, although Lawrence is his quarterback, so there's a chance of that happening. You hate the downside of Hunter Henry when he doesn't score a touchdown. It's going to be two fantasy points for your squad. So I'd rather take the safety net that Dan Arnold provides rather than Hunter Henry.
Okay.
I guess the only counter to that would be we've only seen it once in the last 2 months.
It's been crazy, but Adam said it. I agree with it. I don't think it's necessarily sustainable where he's going to catch a touchdown every single week.
I guess the other part would be is how hurt is Jonnu Smith?
I don't even think Jonnu matters anymore.
Well, I mean, we saw his best game in terms of targets, catches, and yards in a long time in the first game without Jonnu.
With last week?
Yeah.
No, four targets. First game without Jonnu.
Well, you mean week 10, Hunter Henry?
Yeah, it wasn't much, but it was a spike in targets and catches for him.
I don't know if it was a spike. He had four targets. Then he had four.
What would be the
huge
two targets?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then you got Logan Thomas, who's got this really good schedule beginning in week 13. Las Vegas, Dallas, Philadelphia, Dallas, Philadelphia. Cole Kmet.
I would still put the Seattle matchup in there too.
Sure. Carolina's good, not great. Then Seattle in week 12.
Right.
Losing track of the weeks here.
Carolina's getting better.
All right, Kmet or Conklin this week, guys? Who are you going with?
Who?
Kmet or Conklin?
I'll go Conklin.
I'll take a long-term appeal of Kmet.
Right, okay. But just for this week, it's Conklin.
Yeah, no, I still go Kmet.
Okay, how about Logan Thomas or Kmet or Conklin?
Logan.
Thomas, Kmet, Conklin.
Evan Engram or Gerald Everett?
Engram.
Adam Trautman. Oh my gosh, he's got 6 of 7 targets in 3 straight games, and he faces the Eagles. We need to come up with a nickname for the Eagles based on how bad they are against tight ends. Could it be
the flyover?
They're so bad. The Feebles. What did you say?
The Teagles.
Tight end.
T
yeah.
And the E.
That's good. Yeah. Trautman. Where are you going to end up ranking him?
Significantly outside the top 12.
I mean, he's just not scoring.
Not yet.
Not scoring and not getting a lot of yards when he does make catches.
Okay, but he's got the Feebles. And Cameron Brate against the Giants is another guy you could look at. What about Jeff Swaim against Houston? He gets 5 targets a week now.
Yeah, he's been involved in what they're doing. He's playing a lot for them, too, if I recall correctly. No one's going to prioritize him. No one's looking for him off the waiver wire, but there's also no guarantee that this target rate will continue.
And then Michael Brook to get a touchdown.
Yeah, true. Yeah. DST streamers, Dolphins are the headliner, Panthers, 49ers.
It feels like Swaim is the new Firkser and Pruitt is the new Janu.
Oh, well, that was really reliable last year. Would you start the... the Browns DST or the Dolphins? Browns against the Lions, Dolphins against the Jets.
Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins.
Okay. And then would you...
Although the Browns are as close to a sure thing as you could get at a DST. Every single DST against Detroit this year has given you at least 8 points.
How about the Tennessee Titans against Houston or the Dolphins?
Titans
are my top DST.
All righty. Okay, kickers are Nick Folk, Randy Bullock, Zing Gonzalez, Jason Sanders, Robbie Gold. We're done. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. We'll see you tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, for our live stream here at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. And check out Fantasy Football Today, Jamie's show. Jamie hosts that one on CBS Sports HQ, noon Eastern, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. on Sunday. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.